This is the Page Publishing Book Club. How you doing? I'm Alice Stockton Rossini. Hope your new year's off to a great start. Carolyn Freed really enjoyed teaching women how to manage their money, but it was a memoir writing course that opened up a whole new world and inspired her book entitled Carolyn.
After completing the course, I was encouraged by the teacher to continue to write and to tell my story. I had faced some very serious medical issues. For instance, an 11-hour brain operation followed by two bouts of cancer, all at a time when MRIs and other tests were not available to determine what was wrong. So it was a very difficult time. And at the same time, I was also raising four boys. And then there were other challenges I had to face. The book has a number of humorous things interspersed in the telling of my story because it's important, from my point of view, to keep a smile on your face. Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you cry alone. I was inspired to write this to help others as I came out of this whole experience a much more positive and optimistic and stronger person. When you open it up, I've just had a double mastectomy, and I spent 3 days in my bedroom crying because they did not have surgeons in those days that specialized in breast cancer or reconstruction. And so you were at the mercy of a plastic surgeon who probably was mostly used to enhancing breasts but not rebuilding. So I went through a lot of surgeries, you know, hoping that things would get better. And then I go back to my childhood. And when I was a young child, there was a studio here called the Meglin Studio. I went there for tap dancing lessons when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And the studios came, and they picked five children that they wanted to work with, and I was one of them. And Shirley Temple was one of them. So the five of us, we went for training. And after about 6 months, my mother got tired of taking me. And about a month later, they started making the first film, which was called Baby Burlesque. And many years later, I told her what she deprived me of. I could have been a drug addict, a nymphomaniac, who knows, an alcoholic, or maybe all three. Because unfortunately, that's what's happened to a lot of those young child stars.
Right. Yeah.
But at any rate, when I said this to my mother, we both had a good laugh.
Wow.
And then I had wonderful experiences with children when I was teaching, and I have some of that in there because some of them are very humorous. I had one little boy in kindergarten who was very bright, and we used to have a sharing period. And one day he wanted to know why I was Miss and the other teacher was Mrs. And I explained to him that she had a daddy at home and children that I didn't. And then he said, well, why don't you have children? And the master teacher looked at me as if to say, how are you going to get out of that one? And I said, only married people have children. Well, the kids were all satisfied, except 5 minutes later, Tommy says, how does a body know if it's married or not? I had to leave the room because I was hysterical laughing.
From the mouths of babes, right?
Well, the same child, at another sharing period, somebody said that they had heard something about a man being arrested for hitting his wife. And Tommy says, well, I get up at night and I walk around the house. I don't wake anybody, but I look in all the rooms. And sometimes I don't think my daddy likes my mommy because he's on top of her trying to push her off the bed. I had to leave the room again. Well, these things are in the book, so there's some funny things in there. It isn't all morbid.
You know what? Just like life.
It is.
Right?
It is. And
you had these book signings lined up. Now what are you doing?
By word of mouth, the book is selling, probably not back east, but in Los Angeles, it's been selling. And being tied down like this, I needed to do something to challenge myself and keep the brain working. And so I'm writing a novel right now. And although I'm 92 years old, I'm not ready to throw in the towel.
Oh, my God, Carolyn, I would have never guessed that. Wow, you are real. You really got it together there, sister.
I hope maybe we'll have another book to talk about.
Me too. You are an inspiration.
Thank you.
Danielle Mongelli is a New York City middle school teacher who grew up in a very unconventional way, and as a young girl suffered a trauma that inspired her to write her book of poetry entitled The Cure of the Heart.
So I dealt with a lot of personal things at a young age that I didn't really know how to talk about. You know, people kept telling me to go to therapy, but the only thing therapeutic that I found was writing. So I also wanted to kind of speak about topics that other people deal with but may not be able to talk about out loud. So I kind of put my story out there to help people that went through similar experiences that I did. My book is about growing up with a parent incarcerated since I was 9 years old. My dad was in prison for 18 years of my life. So that's something that people don't really speak about. And there are many children that go through it, but it's not something that, you know, people can see in such a positive light. So I tried to take what I went through and put it into a positive spin of how it helped me and talk about how close I am to my father still.
Do you mind me asking why he was in jail for 18 years?
Well, I don't really talk about that in my book because I want it to be like my perspective. I try to do it generalized. So it doesn't really matter about, you know, what crime people may or may not have committed, but the relationship from father to daughter. The child is experiencing things in, it's so hard to, for the child to deal with. So I think it's important to look at that part of it, you know. There's 25 poems. It's a poetry book, so it's 25 poems. Everything is translated into Italian. I'm Italian. I grew up Italian, so it kind of tries to show the stereotype of growing up in Staten Island, being an Italian, Brooklyn, and growing up there. So the 25 poems are basically a chronological story of my life. It's based on about the first 25 years of my life. When I was 16, the reason I started writing was because I was actually sexually assaulted. That is also something that I was never able to speak about until I started writing about it. So that comes to play in the book. I think that just kind of going through heartbreak, losing people over time, it's generalized things that people go to from the ages of childhood to 25 years old, but also with a little more intensity and things that are not so common to see.
Do you talk about your mom and how she had to deal with all of this?
Correct. There's actually a poem that is called In the Voice of My Parents, and it is through their perspective of what's going on, them kind of speaking to me. So exactly what I would see of them as a child, and then they're talking back. So it's their words through my writing. And then I have kind of like a thank you letter to my mom for being so strong, for everything that she was put through, because people don't realize it's not only the people that go to jail that do the sentence. So I think that, you know, it was just me and my mom, and the sacrifices we had to make was seen through my writing and how we kind of grew past that and, you know, was able to take something so negative and make it positive.
And you're close to your dad?
Yes.
How were you able to do that?
Well, I think that was just from the help of my parents and just being the kind of people they are and how I was brought up. Being Italian, you can see in my book, family is very important. No matter what happens, we never give up on each other. You know, I'm sure I've made mistakes that my parents might not be too happy with, but I know that they'll always be there for me. And I felt the same way. And I was able to see that. I was only 9 years old when this happened. So I was able to see that at a very young age because of who they were. My parents are like amazing people. And I think that I was able to learn just from how they kind of experienced everything. You know, they kind of pushed me through it. And if it wasn't for our unconditional love for each other, I don't know if I would be able to succeed in everything that I've done today. I'm on Facebook, I'm just talking through people, word of mouth. I have a lot of family supporters, and that means a lot. So there's been tons of people, family and friends, that have, you know, already purchased my book and are telling people about it. So it's basically just word of mouth for me. But I am on Facebook and a lot of social media platforms that I've kind of been sharing that my book is out there.
And that's working for you?
It seems to be so far. Yeah, it seems to be. I'm really grateful. I've had some people from my high school kind of hit me up out of nowhere and text me and say, hey, you know, I bought your book and it was great. And it's very cool to see.
Wow.
It's funny because when I was in high school, I had someone tell me that since I can't get my words out that I should write them on paper. And this is kind of what brought me into writing. So what I would do is everything that I would want to say to someone, I would write a letter to them. I would put it in an envelope. I would write their name on it and I would put a stamp and I would put it in a drawer. So I would write a letter and I would even put the stamp on it, but I would put everything in the drawer. And then one day I took out and read all my letters and I started making poems out of that.
Is there a poem you could share with us or you would want to share with us or no?
Yes, I do.
All right.
This is actually in the voice of the rat, as which we call them, who put my father in prison, somebody who told on him. This is called Tender Villain. Scratching away the final paint chips in an enclosed space in Brooklyn. No windows, no doors, multitudes of bars, contemplations of life destroyed. Mine are his. They call me number 72. 72 lives, 72 moments, 72 wires on bodies, 72 people on this case. I have to think about my daughter. If I'm locked away, what will happen to her? Heat lamps pester the sweat inside me to erupt. Without a sound, I put my finger to an image of a man whose life is ending. One gun, two triggers. There's never any protection to those you've said you've witnessed. Bahamas, Miami, Colorado, California. Where will I run to? Whose name will I portray? They uncuffed me and set me free, yet restrained by the respect. The stool pigeon flown away. As I unshackle my lips, I learn he had a daughter too.
Oh, man. I got chills, Danielle.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, I tried to incorporate, you know, what I saw growing up, and loyalty is very important to me based on all of my experiences. Being there for people, always minding your business. You know, I take a lot of the things that I've learned from when I was a kid, and I carry them, you know, for the rest of my life.
Nothing wrong with that, Danielle. Thank you. Kathleen Jones is also a middle school teacher in Illinois. She always wanted to help kids celebrate exactly who they are and not compare themselves to others. She teaches by example in so many ways by writing her book, Finding Your Magnificence, A Tale of Self-Exploration.
So I'm inspired by the story is written based on my dog, Molly, and she is a funny little character herself. And so her character is based on my actual dog. And then the characters in the book are all based on dogs that my family and friends own. And their characteristics are very similar to the actual personalities of the animals. So that's what's kind of unique about the story. She is often barking and it's seen as a negative quality, right? And she wants to do things like her friends and family. My mom's dog, Emerald, travels everywhere with her. So she wants to try that out. My brother's dog, Eli, is very athletic and can catch frisbees. And so she tries all these things, but she's just not getting it. And so she's comparing herself to these other dogs, and she's just not the same until she gets some good advice from her friends of how to find something that she's magnificent at. And it's readable from second grade on up, and I would say it's a great read aloud and just a social emotional story for any age of just being able to be who you are and find yourself and the process of what that looks like.
Have you been able to share this with your class?
Yes, I have, which has been really special. They hear me often talking about Molly, so they immediately caught on to that connection and they just really enjoyed, you know, the message behind it, because we teach a lot of those social emotional skills to our students and just the message of positivity, which is something that we need more than ever, you know, really resonated with them. And it was really special that, you know, their teacher got to share with them. We've been promoting with Instagram. Follow us at Finding Your Magnificence. And we also have Twitter as well. You know, we have been promoting to local groups. The DuPage Children's Group has a program that they do with local authors. And so they tell stories of social emotional lessons and get to teach the students things from different local authors. So we've been pairing up with them, just different avenues like that to kind of get the word out, friends and family, things like that. So it's been pretty good, but definitely challenging in the times that we're at.
Well, you know, can you go into other classrooms?
Yeah, so I've had a few author visit requests as well. I think the challenging part of that has just been that schools have been back and forth between going in person and then going back remote due to the numbers. But hopefully when, you know, things start going on a downward trend that we can hopefully do some author visits either virtually or in person, depending on the school. And just being able to choose, you know, your illustrator and things like that, it was really exciting just to go through the actual process because, you know, we teach the process mile form of it in class when we're, you know, publishing, you know, a paper or a story of our own, and to just go through it professionally was really, you know, a unique experience that, you know, I can now pass on to my students and other people about what it's like to be an author. So it was really special and unique.
Great, Katie. So you're going to keep writing. I can hear it.
I hope so. Everyone keeps saying, when's the next one? I'm like, we'll see how the first one goes.
All right. Great. A reader all her life, Michelle Webb always wanted to create a place where people could live vicariously through her. With some inspiration from her dog, she writes Dexter, fitting in, stepping through life one paw at a time.
What I did was, because I traveled a lot and I had a dog, number one, and I needed to go and get him some company. So we went and we got Dexter. And what was interesting was just his whole demeanor about trying to look like please us and trying to get to know his big brother. To me, it was the human feeling of wanting to be a part of, working hard to fit in. And it just looked like he was running so fast, tripping over himself to try and catch up with his brother, or trying to go to the bathroom in the right place and not make mistakes. So what really drove me was just, you could almost feel the vibe off his body to want to be a part of this.
Now his brother is what?
He's a Yorkie, a Yorkshire Terrier.
Okay.
The story goes, I take the Yorkie and we go to a pet store to go and meet the new dog. And I took in all kinds of pedigree dogs. He wouldn't even look at them. And as we were leaving in the middle of the pet store with this little swimming pool with these little beagle dachshund mixes, and the lady said, maybe you want to try one of these. And I took him in. Riley actually sniffed his ear and I said, you're it. And it was almost like he was grinning at me. It was so hysterical. And we got in the car and we came home. So then what happens is he's like, who are these big people walking around? He meets my husband. He's trying to figure out all this house with these rooms with water that swishes in a bowl that he can drink out of. He's trying to understand what is all this. And what's exciting is he's following the big brother trying to learn, but the big brother, he'll go sit by him. The big brother will get up and move. So he just was trying so hard to kind of fit into this, you know. We have to go out early in the morning to go to the bathroom. We have to go to the vet. Oh, my gosh, I have to get a shot. I mean, all these things. Why do we have to get shots? I don't like that man. But the life lesson is that the man really helps us because shots keep us healthy. So in each chapter, he's going through a different phase. He has to go get groomed. He didn't like it. But you have to have pretty good hygiene. And why it was good, and as I was writing it, I thought, you know what? There's so many people that come into new families. And I thought about children going into blended families where they have to learn all the new rules and their order changes. Maybe I was the only, now I'm the youngest or I'm the oldest. And how do I fit in? And those are the things that in each chapter I try to cover so that to me through the eyes of a puppy in a humorous manner, they can see, well, you know what? We all have to fit in different places and spaces.
That is so true. That's all we're trying to do is fit in.
A 92-year-old gentleman from my church read the book, and he called. He said, you are an intelligent and amazing woman, because even in life, whether we change jobs, we got to figure out who's the top guy. What are the rules? And that's really what, and I was so pleased. That was my favorite review, because it told me that this doesn't just, it's not just a storybook, because it is, but pet owners are going nuts over this because they're like, I saw this with my dog. And then I have this gentleman who's 90 years old that says, Michelle, I did this about 10 times in my life.
Yeah. So is this book in your vet's office?
Gave it to the vet. I'm waiting for feedback. I also took it to the groomer because there was a story about them. So yes, absolutely. I got to be honest with you. I've been with American Express 36 years. I will tell you that colleagues and peers that I have not spoken to in 15, 20 years are buying the book. I'm using LinkedIn, just connecting with different people in different environments and industries. I'm trying to target books, obviously pet owners and, you know, story, children's books, folks. But yes, so it's been a variety, but yes, and also a little local boutique picked up the book and has it out there in their pet section.
How did they find out about it?
It was, okay, this is crazy. I was in there, brand new boutique opened. I was having a bad day, went shopping. And as I was getting ready to leave, I heard the lady kept ringing somebody out. And she said, hey, do you want your change to go to rescue? And the lady said, yes. I said, hey, I just wrote a book about rescue. And she said, get out of here. So I had the books with me. I went out to my car. I showed her the book. And she said, can we sell these and maybe add on a couple dollars to donate to rescue? I said, absolutely. So that's another community that I've been, you know, working to get engaged with.
Good stuff, Michelle. Some great ideas on getting your book out there in a pandemic. Thank you for that. Okay, we're going to take a really short break. This is the Page Publishing Book Club.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then now's the time to call Page Publishing at 800-204-6099 and do it immediately. You see, they're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review most of the books submitted to them. And they'll even give you their feedback. And if they like what they read, Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, and other outlets. They'll handle everything. Copyright protection, printing, cover art, publicity, and editing. So if you've written a novel, a children's book, a cookbook, inspirational work, a book of poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-204-6099 now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. For your free author submission kit, call Page Publishing at 800-204-6099.
We're back on the Page Publishing Book Club. I'm Alice Stockton Rossini. Siddiqui McQueen Jr. is an activist in Houston. He went to prison for a crime he didn't commit, but somehow he has made the best of it and shares his story in his book entitled Silenced But Determined.
So while I was there, I realized and I was able to see the injustice and all the different things that was being done to minorities, also people that were poor. So I began my activism and while I was there in prison. So for 40 plus years, I've been fighting to change the system. And that what led me to write my book. I had basically fought just about every avenue I could. And I was blackballed from the courts because I was fighting alone. I didn't have an attorney. And so my only avenue was to write this book, to tell my story, let my side of the story be heard and be read.
What happened?
I was sent to prison for a crime I didn't commit, sexual assault.
How long were you in prison?
24 years. At my trial, the judge didn't allow me to be tested with the DNA evidence. And then subsequently, during all my filings and challenging it, they got rid of the evidence. So I was unable to prove my innocence via DNA evidence, even though the Innocent Project has had my case for like 13 years. And they just sent me a letter finalizing the fact that they couldn't do anything because the evidence had been destroyed in my case. During my trial, I was never even allowed to be tested, even though I requested. I had a court-appointed attorney. No, I couldn't afford a lawyer. During the trial, it was called forensic evidence. Now it's DNA evidence now. But at that time in the 70s, it was forensic evidence. And the police testified who did a rape kit. He indicated that he had taken foreign hairs and semen from the victim and that he could test those items if I would agree to it by taking blood and hair samples from me, make a determination if I was innocent or guilty. Well, during the trial, I requested it. I even filed a motion, gave it to my attorney to give to the judge, and the judge denied it. Then I took the stand and I requested it to test be taken so I can prove my innocence because I say I was not the one. And the police officer forensic indicated that it would definitely show if I tested negative, I wouldn't be the perpetrator of the crime. So the judge denied it and all my subsequent appeals in regard to that issue have been denied as well. Never cleared, no.
So this book, I'm amazed that you're not an angry man.
Well, my book encompasses a lot of things. It touches on the issue of how deplorable prison life is, how deplorable the criminal justice system is. But it also, there are other underlying aspects that come with going to prison. Mental health. I suffer from stress and depression for many years. Over 25 years, I've been getting medication and had to be on a certain regimen to make sure that I don't go back into PSD or I don't go back into deep depression. So that comes from my being in prison for so long. And then while I was in prison, 20 of the 24 years, I was in administrative segregation, which is prison in prison, because I fought the system, because I fought my case. So my book encompasses on the fact that I'm a spiritual person. I'm not a religion person. I believe in God. I believe God. I would never not be here to tell this story today if it wasn't for God. It also touches on the fact of being determined, just not giving up, just not settling for what somebody else say that you are or that you should be, and control your own narrative. That's what I want to do by writing this book, controlling my own narrative. I actually joined an organization, a very powerful organization, Texas Organizing Project. So that's a continuation of what I'm doing. We work on many issues, cite and release, bail, criminal justice reform. We've got 5 different judges elected. So, and trying to change things, I decided I have to be more involved with people that are already on that level. So that's why I joined this organization. So now I have more input, and as well, they doing videos about my story. And so they're also doing speaking out and using me as an opportunity to speak out so others can see and understand what's really going on. I feel like it's my mission, a call of duty. I needed to do this.
Well, I give you a lot of credit for keeping up the fight and, you know, helping others in the process. Thanks so much. And that's all the time we have for this edition of the Page Publishing Book Club. Come back next week. Same time, same place. More authors, more inspiration, more ideas on how to get a book out in this most unusual time. Not easy, but not impossible, as I think you've heard several times here. Anyway, if you missed anything, check out the podcast on 710WOR.com. I'll catch you next time. I'm Alice Stockton-Rossini.